afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being with us on this beautiful day, another beautiful day we have. And this is a special City Council meeting. We have one item on the agenda. I'm sure you understand that already. And it's to consider for City Council to consider the resolution from SCDOT for the Lawrence Street Bridge replacement project. And I'll turn it over to Richard now to go into some more detail, but if you have any questions, certainly you can come up to the mic and say whatever you'd like to say about it, or if you have questions on it. Okay, Richard.
Mayor, thank you very much. As everyone is aware at this point, the southwestern corner of the bridge that's on Lawrence Street began to sink on April 4. In fact, the sinking became more and more pronounced. Officials with SCDOT and Kevin Gant is in the room at this point and will be addressing council in just a minute, began immediate investigations into the cause of that and then the action that needed to be taken. That resulted in DOT approaching Governor Haley about the bridge, and Governor Haley signed an executive order. We put a copy in the materials that you received in your packet. That's dated April 9 of 2012. I had a conversation with officials from DOT last week, including Mr. Gant, and they're very anxious to go forward because with the executive order from our governor, it's an emergency situation, and that means that federal highway agency funds are available to pay for 100% of any of the work that is done between April 4 of this year and 180 days from that date. So time is of the essence, and the DOT officials were very interested in our meeting today. They really need to hear by in the morning whether or not council is of a mind to execute the municipal state highway project agreement. And Larry Morris is here from our engineering and utilities department. Anytime a major project like this is undertaken within the city limits, we routinely bring these to you for approval and have done so. I'm thinking, Larry, one of the most recent ones we had were the intersection improvements at Gregg Highway where they cross Robert M. Bell Parkway. And that portion actually came here and was approved by council. That's routinely done. This is a very special circumstance because of the time deadline for the federal funds to be available. Since the telephone conversation that I had last week, Public Safety Director Barranco and I have visited the scene. Larry Morris and I have visited the scene. Other staff have investigated the scene, and I met with Public Service Department personnel as well. The reason I mentioned that, of course, here's the bridge, and Colleton Avenue comes right alongside of the railroad cut as you approach Lawrence, and we've had a one-way onto Lawrence Street from Colleton. And Mr. Gant can address this in more detail. I've just informed council that in the telephone conversation, some of the officials from DOT were concerned that with the minimum clearance requirements by the Norfolk Southern Railroad, they want at least 21 and a half feet between the railroad track and then the bottom of the bridge. In order to accomplish that, DOT anticipates there may be some change in the grade for the bridge. Mr. Gant can address that in more detail. But to the extent that the grade needs to be changed in the approach to the overpass, it would not be feasible to maintain Colleton Avenue connecting with Lawrence Street any longer. So with that information, we had an opportunity to speak with the residents. There's one resident at 119 Colleton Avenue. I spoke with those residents this morning. And then Chief Barranco and I spoke with a resident of this unit of Rosebank Condominiums. And as council can anticipate, that section of Colleton has become a rapid cut through from Lawrence Street to Newberry. And the residents that I've had a chance to speak with And they had actually spoken with the residents of these four units of the Rosebank condominiums. I spoke with Jim Hayes today, and they were actually kind of relieved that there was a prospect that Colleton may close. As far as the residents at 119, that's the Woodward family. They also felt that that would be a good thing and not a bad thing for them. Of course, with public safety, we're concerned about access for our emergency vehicles. With public services, we're concerned about access for our recycle and garbage trucks and yard trash removal apparatus. And with finance, we want to get in there and read those meters. These residents of the four Rosebank condominiums are currently taking their roll carts immediately outside their back door. So, Mr. Gann, I don't know exactly where we were contemplating that Colleton would be closed, but that would be a consideration that these residents would have access to that portion of Colleton, which is just immediately outside their back door. Another concern of the Rosebank condominium residents is you have several very significant old-growth cedar trees in this area, and they were concerned whether those were going to be involved in any way in part of the replacement of the overpass. So we did find, actually, Mr. Morris's crew found a manhole cover that was immediately under the overpass. That would be an issue. And we also currently have a fire hydrant. Chief Branko, is that red dot approximately the location of the fire hydrant that we looked at today? So we don't know if that's in play or not, Mr. Gant, but those would be the city facilities that we would be concerned about. So with all of that information in Mr. Gant's presentation, the reason we're here today is for council to approve this resolution for a municipal state highway project agreement to replace the Lawrence Street overpass that a portion collapsed on April 4 of this year.
Very good, Richard. Thank you for that detail. Let's have a motion and a second to approve, and then we'll have discussion. Do we have a motion?
I move, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Okay. Discussion. Who would anyone?
Mr. Gant's Gant here with the.
Mr. Gant, would you like to speak?
I have some information that they said a little more like than what you have here.
Okay.
Because I might need a little bit to get my.
I've got to get mine objected down here and bring yours on.
How about the far right, Mr. Morris?
That's what I'm looking for. There we go.
If I can get this. That's to remove it, I think. You might have to get there. Well, you might have to go over to start and pull up your my computer to the left. There we go.
Which one do you need?
It'll be the PowerPoint presentation on the left. And I can drive from here?
You can drive from here. Let's just stand at this point.
Okay, I want to blow it up. Get the full view.
I think if you click on the little screen down at the bottom by the 63% number, that'll make it full screen. There we go.
Thanks. Well, I don't need this slide because I don't want to do a formal presentation for you guys. It's always easy to come down here when Richard's doing his homework because it makes it easier on me.
Yeah, if you just page down, you can pull up the other.
All right. I may have too much on this slide, but this is basically the same view that you were just looking at a few minutes ago. It has a little more detail, and it gives us project limits.
Do you want the pointer?
Do you have a pointer?
Richard?
Yeah, right here. Yes, sir. Right here.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Richard. Now, look, our Tuesday special is no charge.
No charge.
No charge.
But this Wednesday, I got a bet.
That's right.
Oh, good one. Okay. What we had to determine very quickly for our environmental document was the project limits, how far we thought, how much of an area we would impact, so we could get that approved through federal highways. And what we have up here, and I know you can't read that, but that's about 400 feet from the edge of the bridge. That's from the north side, with the city being here,
and Kevin,
crossing
if it's,
the rail line.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Mr. Gamble. We do have a monitor we're actually looking at, so it's a little more detailed.
You guys can see that. Okay. And then to the south, we have 500 feet, and that's what we've identified for the document, so we would not impact anything outside those lines. We've also went in and hatched off a section of Colleton, and we have to identify where we think we would affect. So we wouldn't know if that's the exact limit or not. I didn't know until you just mentioned about the residents in that particular building having their trash out on the back there. What is an issue with Colleton is not only tying the grades back in, because at this point when we raise the bridge, it could be as much as 3 foot higher than the existing bridge now, and that's what makes this an issue. And we will not know that until the consultant is selected and he gives us a design. When we come back into here, you'll notice that the road kind of necks down. And the further we come down into this section, it's going to be hard to give you a turnaround there, because you become more and more restricted. The further you come down from this direction before we cut it off, it's actually going to restrain us. So we have to figure that out when we further develop the scope for the contractor.
And is there any problem in your negotiations with the contractor as we look where you have the words Colleton Ave? To try and see what we could keep in there just for the access of those residents out their back door.
Right. That's not final. It's just a limit of what we think we would impact.
Okay.
And you also made mention to a hydrant, which I saw that on the depiction earlier today. It's about right in there.
The S on Lawrence Street, it's immediately across from that.
Okay.
In that driveway.
I do think we can work with that hydrant.
Good.
And, of course, we would leave this access as it's drawn here. So that driveway is still there.
To the extent that you're showing on Colleton Avenue, it kind of looks like the pants leg on a flared pair of blue jeans, bell bottoms, if you will. Right. Do you think that's going to impact any of these old growth cedars that were there? That was a concern of the condominium residents.
Actually, I don't think we would have to take any of those trees down. All we need is enough area from this line of the road to tie the slopes back in. And I think we can do that without impacting those trees.
That will be our
intent.
Is it appropriate to ask questions now or wait to the end?
You'll
make your whole presentation, then we ask questions.
I'll tell you the truth. I just finished this 10 minutes before I left the office. Because a lot of this information we've been working on minute to minute. So we've included this information in the environmental document and the scope that we're still working on. So I don't have a problem with answering those questions, if that's fine.
Go ahead.
I want everyone to be informed.
Thank you.
I may be taking the question away from Mr. Pierce.
Obviously,
from what he said, closing Colleton's is not an issue with the residents, but also you need to be able, and I may have to talk to Chief Baranco, but you got to turn a fire truck around and an ambulance and that type of thing. So we have to look at some kind of turnaround. Mm-hmm. I would think from the public safety, a car could turn around. That's not the issue. But if the fire truck comes in there, an ambulance could turn around, in the middle of the road without any doubt. But I don't know, it's something that maybe, Mr. Pierce, you could look at for turnaround of a fire truck.
And I would anticipate that the DOT would involve us in those conversations. And the chief and I, as I said, Mr. Edward, we were down there today. It's a fairly wide paved right-of-way.
Okay.
And again, it just happenstance was kind of lucky. Mr. Gant, when I went there this morning, they were actually picking up the garbage. So I saw our newest garbage truck go down there. They really did not have a problem.
Okay, but the hook and ladder truck, and not be the right name, it's a little bit longer, but I think just as a point of order to take a look at it, be sure we can...
Absolutely.
Back it up and fall a couple of times and get it out of there.
Yes, sir, and that's absolutely a consideration, and that's why the chief and I went down there today. There wasn't anything that jumped out at us as a major consideration, but again, since it's a design-build project, to the extent that we can stay in the communication loop and kind of receive those proposed designs, that's something we can immediately take to our departments to make sure that our accessibility and utilization of Colleton will remain as we've been used to, just without that access to Lawrence Street.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I will go back, Mr. Edmund, to say that we were looking at cutting it off further up this way because the road actually restricts, and with the rail bed along here, we can't approach that because
right.
It falls off so fast.
That's right.
If we raise that road any, we couldn't make any increase because then we might actually make that rail bed even less stable or further along. We wouldn't want to collapse similar to what we just had.
Right. Thank you.
I've given you the limits. I did want to discuss the rail bed because on our secondary 31 project, that was something that we were trying to preserve the integrity of. But actually, the rail bed is the actual cause of us being here today because those slopes are not protected to a standard within the right-of-way for us that we would build under our new specifications. So what we're going to try to do is stabilize it within so many feet of the bridge so we wouldn't have that same collapse, and that protects the integrity of those end vents so that wouldn't happen again for that travel way. But we don't want to go out any further than we have to. It's hard to do that. We want to secure it within our limits, but we don't want to go out and affect that any further than we have to. And I would like to have some maybe brief discussion on that. We want to protect the integrity of it, but we know we have to put some type of a button there vertical to support that so that we don't have it falling off and jeopardizing the bridge again. We don't want to be back out here in a few years doing the same thing.
Are you going to use a pile cap there? Right now it's bedded on sand, which is an odd arrangement for a bridge. Most of the time the entrance and exit, or whatever you want to call them, the approaches are set on piles and caps. And are you going to put the piles and cap type this time, or just set it on the sand?
Yes, we will be. We'll make an indent and have a support for that this time. So more than likely, we'll drive piles, have a foundation, and it depends on how the consultant proposes to come across. They can do something similar to what we propose on 31, a cast in place three-sided culvert, and they build an abutment and then sit a piece across that would bridge the railroad. That helps us because you don't have to do as much work down in the rail bed, and the rail line isn't conducive to that, and not really happy about us being down in there. And it's very confined, so even if you put equipment down there, you still wouldn't be able to hinder that train coming through and then coming back, at the end of the day. So we would like to do as much of the work from overhead and trying to approach them about getting down in the rail bed.
Well, I think it's real critical that one way or the other you look at securing the approaches to it better than they were from the 30s and the 70s, because it brings into suspicion the bridge on Newberry also if it's on pile caps or not. And I assume y'all going to take a look at Newberry rare closely and see if the same thing is happening there.
Yes, we actually have the entire rail line. We had three already identified, but they were on the eastern end. Secondary 31, York Street, which we've been working with.
Well, that's the wooden bridge. I'm talking about the concrete bridge.
Right.
Excuse me, I'm on the wrong one.
He's talking about what they have been studying.
Okay.
Yeah, which was
we've
York.
The wooden bridge is on the eastern end,
yeah.
But now coming back up, you got Chesterfield and Newberry in between this one and the one we're looking at. All of those... I think, isn't Newberry the newest one? Was that not built in the
Yes, the
late
newest
90s?
One. That is correct. That is the newest bridge.
Yeah,
right.
That's the newest one, so it should have piles in those end vents and be secure. And when we design them, when we put those piles in the end vent, they're fully supported by that substructure.
But the one is on Chesterfield is a WPA bridge, and I don't know if, can you tell if it's got pile caps or not?
Well, I could probably talk to the county officials, to Jeff Terry, the construction engineer, if they could pull those plans and see if that's would be warranted.
And you don't have to do it now, but after your 6 or 9 months to finish this one, I think it'd be wise to go ahead and look at that bridge.
Yeah.
And see if it's not on pile caps. It may need to do some stabilization, or in 15, 25, or 50 years, it'll be in the same position.
Well, it certainly gets a lot of heavy traffic, just as Lawrence Street did.
Not, don't put it now, but in the due time of the next year or two, I think that would be wise for Jeff to do that.
When this one failed, because we had three already identified on the line, actually I have it in this presentation, but we have like six bridges along the line, all six of them, and we've identified if they have funding or not. Of course, this one has emergency funding, which is a lot better because it doesn't have to come out of our bridge budget and be prioritized, ranked, and that takes a little longer. But so now we have this one, and we have the other three that are identified. One was just replaced, so really Chesterfield would be the next one that we would have to look at.
Look at Chesterfield, but you've looked at York, Fairfield, and Union.
Yes.
Kevin, when will the plans be ready? When do you anticipate draft plans that we could take a look at? Second question is, on these other bridges, will they also have to be raised? Whether or not we're not waiting for them to fail, will they have to be raised according to new specs?
I have a chart that I've started to develop along the rail line, because we did that in conjunction with the work we did on York Street. The majority of these will have to be raised, and they're raised because of the railroad's requirement. When you reconstruct a bridge over the railroad, they can ask you to maintain a clearance above the track of 23 feet. They have given us a waiver for this bridge for 21 and a half, which is in line with the conversations we've been having with them about York Street. So they're giving us a foot and a half waiver because it's not
on the new bridge
line
that's going to be built.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But even by doing 21 and a half, we're still having to raise those grades. As I alluded to earlier, on this bridge, by the time we put a new structure in, we're thinking we're going to be about 3 foot higher than the existing grade now. And so then you have to tie that in and adjust and have your roadways come up. But that's just the only way to do it. And really it's best case, because if they made us adhere to the 23 feet, you know, that'd be another foot and a half. So you'd be looking at 4.5 feet higher, which would... considering how you fall really fast coming down Lawrence, it would take us a long time to tie that back in. And the drives would all be raised as well. An adverse impact on either side or either approach.
So eventually all of our bridges will have to be raised?
Yes. You may have, not sure what the vertical clearance is right now on Chesterfield, but It's not just a railroad requirement. They're giving us that 21 and a half, but when you put in a structure that's going to last and be to our specifications, then you got beams and a deck that's a little thicker, and that also makes you have to come up a little bit.
Yeah. So on Newbury, we talked about it being the newest bridge. That will have to be raised.
If it's
Newbury should already meet those requirements.
Oh, it does?
Yes. It would not have to be.
That's good.
It wouldn't have to be reviewed.
Good.
But the ones that are older than Newbury, they'll have to be replaced. And I think that was done in the late 90s, if I'm correct, 97.
That's approximately correct. That's right.
Yeah, somewhere around in there.
Yeah.
So it would be okay. Newbury would be okay. But the rest of them along that line, we start by giving the railroad that 21 and a half for their vertical clearance, and then designing whatever we can to minimize what the final deck would be.
And now just so we're clear for the record, the wood bridges at Union and on York have the wood members replaced. The support structure was not replaced. Just what you drive over was changed out.
Right.
Kevin, I have a question regarding the process. What is the process after this is voted on tonight? I'm trying to get some idea of how long it's going to take. Yes.
All right, the procurement method that we're going to use is a design build, and that's the quickest way that we can get our projects to a contractor to be working on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're trying to finalize our scope of work, and we in fact have a site meeting with the four teams that we pre-selected to do this work. So we'll meet them out here in the morning about 10 o'clock. The contractors will ask us questions. And all we've identified is a set of criteria. We haven't told them how to build it.
Mm-hmm.
We just told them that you have to do it inside of these limits, these are your railroad constraints, and we need you to come in here and build us a bridge. And they'll bid on it, and we'll whoever gives us the lowest bid but satisfies all the criteria will be the selected consultant. I can give you this other critical date. Right now, by our schedule, we look to have them out there. We want to sign a notice to proceed, which will let them go out and work. That right now is scheduled for May 19th. I think that's a Saturday. So that's very quick compared to the regular process of awarding a project of this magnitude. And I think we're looking at between $2 and $3 million to replace this bridge, which will be from those emergency funds that Richard alluded to.
And that should cover the cost, possibly?
Yes. Yes. If we satisfy the time constraints and get it done within that 180 days that he spoke of, and meet those federal requirements, then they pick up the bill for the project. And that's a win-win for the city and the department.
Okay. What happens if you do not meet that criteria?
Then we're on the hook for having to pay for anything that falls out ourselves. And we don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. Our budget is already, as y'all know, compromised, and we wouldn't want to be in that boat to have to reimburse the federal government. We think we can adhere to the schedule. If we award it and get it to a very good contractor, we think we can get it done. Mm-hmm. If we meet the dates that we have set and we get signed that notice to proceed by May 19th, we think we can get this in here.
Okay. Is anyone in the audience that would like to speak? Certainly. Please come up to the mic and give us your name. That's all you have to do is give us your name. We need to get your remarks on the tape so that if something ever comes up, you know.
She's going to come up where you are, Kev.
I don't know which one works.
She's going to step right in.
Step where you are.
Give you the
best. Just give your name and address to you. You
don't even have to give the address.
My name is Judy Cunningham. I live in Rosebank, and there are five homeowners from Rosebank today, and none of us were contacted. And somebody said that they thought there was no objection by the Rosebank owners to closing Colleton, and I object. And
no,
I
Ms. Cunningham,
believe you talk to other people, they might.
No, again, Ms. Cunningham, I saw you this morning on your bicycle when I was standing out there, and I'm sorry you didn't stop when I was talking with the Woodwards.
Well, I thought maybe
I was trying to convey that I spoke with Jim Hayes, and he had spoken with, I think, one resident who is on that backside with the Rosebank condominium immediately adjacent to Colleton, and he did not have an objection. I just haven't heard from anybody else. I wish you'd stop this morning. I'd be glad to talk to you.
Well, if somebody had put notes in the doors, I'm sure other people would have responded.
This has all happened very fast, ma'am. We just found out late last week.
Our only exit is onto Lawrence Street from the parking area.
Right.
And it's so hard to get in northbound and southbound traffic there. So that's why I don't get on the Lawrence Street Bridge. I always take that Colleton and then do the Newberry or York Street Bridge because the traffic is so heavy. And I think people in Hitchcock condominiums, they're probably the same way. It's so hard to get into that traffic flow, or maybe not for them as much. But there are 16 owners at Rosebank. And
that is something that Chief Barranco and I discussed this afternoon as we were looking at the situation. And you are correct. You would not, and this is DOT's proposal now, but you would not have access to Colleton to go to Newberry. If you took a right-hand turn, you would have to go up to Park and then down if you wanted to take that right-hand turn.
And that jagged red line that comes through our drive out onto Lawrence, that means that the roadway would be raised there. So then are we responsible for then raising our entry, or would the highway
now, Mr. Gant could comment on that. I can't.
Be responsible for that tie-down. And it has to meet our specifications. So if we needed to come back in a little to make that grade a fair approach, we don't want you to be approaching the traffic and your car's angled and you can't see. And that's one of the biggest things I try to explain in all my presentations is that in any approach to a road, if you can't see left and right, we don't want you coming into that at an unsafe angle.
Well, how much higher? I mean, we're not that far from the bridge. Will it be 3 feet higher right there at our entry as well?
We think right now that the maximum on the bridge will be about 3 feet. If a contractor comes in and he gives us a better design and the slab isn't as thick, maybe it's only 2 feet, and by that time, by the time we get down to here, maybe we're just looking at a foot or a foot and a half. But it'll start to drop immediately after we come off, because with asphalt, we can build that up and then it starts to tie in. This is the easiest side, because once you come off this bridge, you're already on a crest, you're at the top of the hill, so it'll start to roll off and tie down to the original grade. This side is actually, it'll come down about 300-400 feet, what we're thinking now, but definitely before the 500. But it's just start to roll off and tie in as you come off.
Okay.
And another thing is that you have enough length here to develop your drive. And if we needed to make it a little wider for you guys to get in and to come out, we can do that.
And maybe even after the bridge is rebuilt, there'd be an effort to redirect some of the traffic to Newbury and Chesterfield, just so that one bridge doesn't bear so much like it does now. That would maybe slow down the people that fly by there.
We're certainly having some conversations with our folks at Public Safety to see what we can do with this reconfiguration and handle traffic as best we can.
Thank you.
Yes, hi, Alex Marshall from the Rosebank Condos. Just real quick, just some other concerns. That, when Judy is saying that when you come up, if you're trying to get out on Lawrence from there, it's very difficult. Just because of the pitch of that road, you really can't see traffic coming either way. So there really is a concern there. And the other concern I have is that if you close Colleton, it's already happening. If you go up, they're already taking that side street that comes back down. There's one other street right there. There's a lot of traffic that, instead of going all the way up to Park, I believe,
yeah,
they're coming down that road. And actually, yeah, Right now, they're kind of cheating. They're cutting across over here by the Wilcox, where that island is, and they're kind of running across. But you're getting a lot of traffic already that's coming down just because of the detour.
Yeah, Mr. Marshall, that's very helpful information. We've got Chief Barranco, and we also have Lieutenant Turno here. They'll be very interested that you're sharing that information.
But the other thing, I think, when you do that, and I know these are, as for a reaction, there's a reaction and all that, I know, but just something to bring in mind is that road up there, when you close Calderton, and they're going to run up across the bridge, and they're going to cut through there. And all those residents are going to get a lot of traffic as well. Already seeing that.
And you're talking about behind the George Funeral Home?
Yes.
That alley?
Yeah.
It's
Hood
District.
Hood
Lane, thank you.
I believe it's right there.
Okay.
Yeah, that is it.
The other question I had is that when they put the bridge up, and whatever they do with Colleton, is there a way, or can they at least give it some consideration to put there's a sidewalk on the left side, but on the right side there's no walkway.
Oh, I can speak to that.
Okay.
When we put this new bridge in, mm-hmm. we're going to have a sidewalk structure on each side.
Oh, okay. Because I know that would play in, whatever you did with Colleton, I understand it's a traffic problem, so, and safety. But I think there is something really does need to be addressed about the pitch of that road coming up right now the way it is. If you go out there and check it out, and right now you can't do that, but it's a touch and go situation if you want to turn left on Lawrence there.
Yeah, and that is something that Chief Barranco and I noticed as well on our visit today. So it's a good point.
Yeah, thank
you. It's a very good point.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Tina McCarthy, and I serve on the Accommodations Tax Committee as well as the general manager of the Wilcox Hotel. We would just like to share a concern. Obviously, there are concerns about the bridge, especially the Chesterfield Bridge, that is a business, traffic access, parking, traffic flow, and safety are critical to our day-to-day operations. So we would appreciate any consideration in that area.
Thank you. Thank you, Tina.
Ben Bancroft, resident of Rosebank. There is a parking area at the end of that red thing you've got there for Rosebank. Right there is a parking area for Rosebank. And I was wondering if you close Covington, this house is going to need to use an easement, and so does this one. So this area right here is a common parking area for Rosebank. I didn't want that to be closed.
From Mr. Gant's remarks, that's outside of the impact area. So I didn't take that was going to be impacted. It's a good question.
Okay.
Jane Page Thompson, 240 Knox Avenue. Mr. Gant from DOT mentioned the railroad cut itself and some issues with the stability of that railroad cut when you were talking. I would like to, since you are looking at the limits, scope and limit, this is a symptom, this collapse of this bridge is a symptom. It's not the cure to the problem. The problem is the destabilization of the railroad cut. We've got one bridge, we've got six other bridges that are going to be impacted. The longer that railroad cut goes without attention. Now, I know that I have several clients along this railroad cut, both commercial and residential clients over the years, who have had concerns about the railroad cut within the city limits of Aiken, not necessarily in this particular specific place. So I encourage you all to use this opportunity. You have the ear of the governor. You have federal transportation dollars behind this project. The average citizen can't get the strength of that voice. You all, as elected officials, I hope, will use this opportunity to help every business and personal residence owner that backs up to that railroad cut within your city. Right now is the opportunity. Waiting to get the telephone number of a contact at the right DOT or at the railroad, that isn't going to happen for an individual realtor calling up like me when I took a listing on the other side of this bridge 3 years ago and needed to know what the parameters were with erosion on that railroad cut. I'm encouraging you right now, today, to make sure you have a plan forward for the entire restabilization of the railroad cut. Thank you.
Kevin, could you speak to what Jane Page just said? What's the status of the railroad cut? How bad? What's the path forward?
Well, as far as the DOT would be concerned, we would only be looking at where we cross within our rights-of-way. So normally that for any bridge, it would be 75 feet from the center of the bridge, a total of 150 feet out, as we cross over that rail bed. I can tell you that I think part of this failure, not to say that the entire structure was not substandard, but part of this failure was a drainage issue. That some of that, the water ponding in the bottom further destabilized those slopes because they're so steep. So if you have any water ponding in the bottom of that rail line, that's going to make that slope very insecure. And thus, if you get a bunch of mud at the bottom, and that thing's falling off 20-plus feet, it's going to have the possibility of collapsing. So that would mainly be rail coordination, dealing with Norfolk Southern and making sure that they're doing their routine inspections to ensure that water is moving. We all know that the water's going to go down to the lowest point, and when it gets down there adjacent to those tracks and is running next to them, it needs to keep running. If it ever ponds, you're going to be creating an unsafe situation. So,
would you agree
that how to stabilize them because they're owned by the rail line?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the maintenance, that would be one thing that I would, the city could do as far as talking to the rail line, is making sure that those routine inspections are done.
It's the rail line responsibility then?
Yes. It's inside their right of way. They're at the bottom. They catch that water. They have to keep that moving to keep those slopes stable. So that's what I would advise. Anything inside of our right of way, we're going to try to take care of when we cross, and we're going to put in vertical abutments and make sure that it doesn't slough off without inside of our right-of-way and compromise the bridge and the road. Mm-hmm. But the rail line would be responsible for those intermittent points. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would advise in the short term.
Yeah. Would the railroad agree with your assessment, or would they say it's up to you or the city?
Have you guys had to work with them a lot?
what I would share for the record, Mr. Noir, is that the railroad was very clear after that partial collapse. They didn't want anybody in their railroad cut. And Larry Morris can confirm for you that when we've had sewer lines that we've had to repair that follows the railroad line, we've had to have special permission, special insurance policies, and gain their permission. They consider it theirs and theirs alone.
So I'm just responding to Jane Page's comment. So her concern should be with the railroad, not with DOT or not with the city.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's that right of way.
That's right.
Right.
And it is. And how much right of way? Is it standard on any railroad line to have much right of way?
I'm not sure what their right of way, what theirs is. It's what, when we cross, right, we want to make sure that we cover everything so that we don't jeopardize anything in our inventory.
Right.
But theirs, in between bridge to bridge where our stops,
yeah,
we wouldn't have any jurisdiction there.
So the railroad would be responsible for payment of any repairs that need to be done to that particular bridge as well?
To the cut.
To the cut.
Yeah.
Within their right-of-way.
I'd be right.
Do you know, Larry, the width of the railroad right-of-way?
I
don't know.
I wouldn't even know those.
And as a citizen, trying to get that information from them is huge. So that's why I'm asking you all to use your force and power and authority as a government body to get answers for citizens who are property.
Well, we'll certainly do everything we can, Jane Page. You know that.
And we are working on that, Mayor. We are identifying
already,
the official with the Norfolk Southern.
And I think a gentleman.
Yes, a gentleman that's been holding up his hand some time here.
Did you want to?
I think our city attorney wants to make a comment.
Yeah,
Mayor, if I may, while he's coming up,
yes, you know, go ahead.
Council will recall those who were on council at the time when there was the complaints from the citizens of the neighborhood about the horn blowing as it went through town. Mm-hmm. And it certainly seemed like a logical idea that city council could simply pass a noise ordinance that would prevent them from making that distraction as they came through town. And the council members who were on at that time will remember we got a real nice letter from Norfolk Southern reminding us of our inability as a municipal organization to tell them what to do, because they can only be told what to do by the federal authorities.
Right.
So council really doesn't have the power to call up Norfolk Southern and say, hey, you got to come fix this railroad cut. It is going to require cooperation and talking and that sort of thing. It's not something we can just say, well, we're not building this bridge until we get this cooperation.
Right.
Yes, sir. My name's Brad Link. I live at 312A Lawrence, literally where my house is, literally on the corner of Lawrence and Colleton. I'm not going to zap somebody with the eye. That's, try to see how good it is for my Army day. That's not bad. Right there is where I live.
And you
have hold steady.
You had a chance, Mr. Wink, to talk with Mr. Hayes. I think he mentioned
Yes, I talked
name
to Mr. Hayes earlier, and just a couple of quick things. I'll be out of y'all's way. First thing, the engineers came and did the survey, and one thing they did mention, FYI, is that what they told us was the right-of-way is 100 feet on each side of the railroad tracks. I don't know if that's the gospel or not, but that's what they did tell us. One of the gentlemen mentioned, I think possibly mentioned, one of our concerns was the corner there about the trees and everything else like that. The engineers doing the survey, they mentioned possibly of literally having to put something like a cul-de-sac there to create a drainage. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. I'm not trying to blindside you or anybody else like that or not.
I talked to them.
That's what they told us they were going to do. I don't know how that's going to impact on your plans or not, because I did mention that to my neighbors, and I'm not too trying to get too excited about that if possible. Finally, as far as the garbage pickup, as a person who lives in that corner, I'm not too worried about a truck pulling right up back behind my house. I've got no problem about carrying my garbage an extra 50 feet or 100 yards or whatever. I'm doing that right now just because I don't know where to leave it. And it's just easier to do that way. I don't mind doing that in the future. Got a question, and I don't know if Mr. Gand or whoever can answer it, because you guys mentioned y'all's concern about ingress and egress for garbage vehicles,
fire trucks,
things like that, garbage, so on like that.
Yes.
If they stop it, if they block it off, and they have to create what I consider a cul-de-sac, kind of a round thing, a round part of it, it's very, very tight right behind my unit there. And I don't know if, I don't mean to be a little bit selfish, but if that, would that cul-de-sac mean that they have to take out part of my my backyard or run up behind my house, et cetera, and so on? That's one of the concerns I have. Personally, if they had to block it off anywhere, right where they had the road blocked off now, seems like it's a pretty nice little spot if they had to do something.
And help me, Mr.
I don't know.
Well, help me, Mr. Wing, because I was out there today with the chief of police, kind of at the end of that red pants leg, as we've called it, on college. It's about where those barricades are.
Correct, yes.
Today.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
And,
yes.
I mean, they blocked it there. Personally, I don't know if any other neighbors would have an issue. We could arm wrestle with that offline.
That's something, as we do get designs, we will put on the city website, and we will send the information out, so it's available.
Okay, because I just wanted my concerns to know, because right literally behind my unit, it's about literally from, if I go out my back door, the embankment runs down right where the window is.
Yep.
Right there.
Yep, it sure does. And in fact, that's why I was glad that we actually had the garbage pickup this morning, because what we're actually doing is just backing our garbage truck down so that the garbage truck does not necessarily need a full cul-de-sac turnaround in. We were dealing with it another way because we've got other customers on Colleton.
Okay, because like I said before, the closing of Colleton, hopefully wherever it is, won't be an issue for me personally. I don't know about my other neighbors. They want to speak and come up and disagree with me. I don't know. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Brad.
One last question. Do we know when we're going to get a final design so we at least know what's going on?
Kevin? The consultant will probably have a pretty good idea when they get that notice to proceed. They'll finish taking out the structure that's there that we stabilized now. When they start to take that out, they'll probably have already ordered their the substructure and everything that they need, because that'll be cast and shipped out to the site. So somewhere around the latter part of May, we should be able to see something a little more finite. So what's going to happen?
Kevin, on that subject, when that's ready, I think we need to let all of our citizens in that area, that at least that will be directly concerned with what's going on, and perhaps even have a public meeting and talk about it, review it. I know you're on a tight deadline, but it's most important to let our citizens understand at least what's going on. Some things you can't change, probably. Some things you may be able to tweak a little bit.
Right.
But communication is, this is all about communications, too. You know, that's one of the main things. You know that. We all know that.
Yeah, we have no problem with disseminating the information as it comes in. We try on the front end of a design build to look at all the things that could be issues and try to take those out of the way so that the contractor is not out here trying to build it on an accelerated schedule, but then we're stopping to say, whoa, let's wait a week to discuss raising a hydrant. Because we don't have that time. You know, when we talk $2.5 million, emergency funding, get this stuff done in 180 days, we try to do all this planning
in advance.
In advance. Mm-hmm. We don't inhibit ourselves
I totally understand all that. We're not talking about a fire hydrant here. We're talking about the things that the people have said, some of our citizens have already said.
I would treat it no different, Mr. Mayor, than any other project. I'd be right down here with the information, just like I am today.
Okay.
No problem.
And we'll certainly make sure, Mayor, that as we receive that information from DOT, that we put it on the city website. We'll put it on the Facebook account. We'll certainly share that with the local media as well, do the best we can to make sure we keep that information flowing.
Good.
I was going to address this question about the turnaround.
Yeah.
The surveyors actually called us, and what we asked them was to make sure they picked up enough points along the area that we were thinking we may need to close, because we didn't know where we were going to close it. After we got the survey data in, we saw that it bottlenecked here, and there was no point to really come past here to create a cul-de-sac because the road restricts itself. So with the width that you have up here, we were thinking that we may be able to cut it off a little sooner, which would make more sense. So I just wanted to address that.
Verity Poe, 316B in the Rosebank. A couple of questions. That's not detailed. I mean, you can't really tell until you get detailed drawings, but assuming that's the right-of-way that's in red, you're not talking about acquiring any property? This does not require any property acquisition?
No, sir. We're trying to work within our current right-of-way.
Secondly, if you raise the bridge, the 3 feet, are you bringing the end, the west end, further west?
There's a north and south end.
This on the west side, will that come further than what it is now? And my question really gets to, and I'd more rely on the head of public safety there, if you do that, you'll have a clear, I'm certain you'll have a clear sight that you'll be able to coming out of Rosebank. But it won't be, you're going to have to move our entrance, Rosebank, further west, will you not?
Right now, we don't think we have to move this.
The traffic won't be coming off that bridge, given you're raising it 3 feet. They won't be coming off that bridge faster. That's going to create a problem for people coming, particularly out, if we're not able to. I must admit, I like going out and down Colleton, but it's not a big issue with me. But won't you have to, again, move the entrance a little bit to the west?
I don't think that we'll have to move this. With this outside radius, it looks like we'll widen it just a bit, but we don't. It won't move very much from where it is now.
And that's actually the southern end.
Oh, or southern, okay. It's not west.
Sorry. Just so we're clear, that's
all. North arrow in here, but it's purple.
Okay.
You can't see it.
All right. The southern end.
Right.
I do more in my direction. That's right. I know the sun sets that way too. So.
What we'll actually have, someone may have spoke to this earlier, when we raise this, right now, it seems like when you approach the bridge, it's like you almost jump up to get on the bridge. It's not really a smooth curve. So when we do raise it, what we'll do is set some grades and come across, and it'll be a smoother curve to drop back in here.
For us, the problem isn't coming, if you're coming from south to north, the problem is getting out. Of course, you could maybe improve the clear sight as we're getting out, but the cars come across that off that bridge fairly quickly, obviously. And so if you're moving it, I'm just concerned about that. But again, I think the head of public safety are concerned. Just as an aside, good luck with the railroad company. I don't envy you at all dealing with the railroad company. I had 35 years plus dealing with railroad companies. Just again, as an aside, I'm not familiar with who's responsible for bridges. This is a state highway?
Yes.
Is the state responsible for bridges outside of their highway system, like the other railroad bridges?
Well, really all of these are on our system. Pretty much everyone going down are on
even Newberry, Chesterfield, right. They're all across.
Very few of those streets are city streets. And in fact, none of those are city streets. Those are all state roads.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Lucky you.
Today we are.
So they should be repaving. They should be repaving the streets when there needs to be repaving, or just the bridge.
No. Those are state streets, so the state would.
So in this instance, this again, I don't want to belabor this, but the railroad will not be putting any money into this project, and I don't want to delay it either, because that certainly will that'll create a huge problem. The railroad company will not be putting any money.
Nope.
And they're not required to.
They won't be putting any
okay,
money into this
better.
Project. All of these are federal emergency funds that we've identified to replace this bridge.
Thank you, Council.
Hey, thank you.
Did I get all your questions?
Okay, so anyone else want to speak?
I have a question, Mr. Mayor, to ask Tina. Tina, regarding your question with the Wilcox. Your concern was the through traffic possibly coming through in front of the hotel. Was it sure where you were?
Yes, and potentially in the future, primarily the Chesterfield Bridge, that has an issue. So just to be concerned about that, because clearly the traffic access and getting to the hotel affects
it. Okay. Let's ask a question here. Kevin, the Chesterfield Bridge. Do you know of any deficiencies there, and how long
might it be before any work needs to be done there?
I don't think any funding, as far as it being ranked on the bridge list, has been identified for Chesterfield. Because of the priority of this one and what we've done here, we will be reviewing it. And I have had some preliminary conversations with Bobby Usry, the resident maintenance engineer, mm-hmm. because they went out along the tracks and looked at that one too. Right. So it was of concern to them. So it is something that we're watching.
Right. DOT staff actually were on the Newberry Street Bridge last week looking at it.
Okay, but you don't know any specifics that you can talk about?
No, I can tell you that the three further down to the east, we have funding identified for on the bridge list.
Okay.
They're ranked and
great.
We have funding for.
Well, that's good.
But Chesterfield is the only one that we don't have anything for. Newberry has been replaced, and we have this emergency funding for Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
But Chesterfield is the only one that does not have funding currently identified mm-hmm. for replacement.
I got a quick question. Those blue lines designating the right-of-way for the airport, railroad, you see the blue lines? That one and the one on the other side.
That for us is a limit that we've negotiated with the railroad,
mm-hmm.
and we have to stay outside those lines.
So when you put the pilings in, they're going to be outside that?
Exactly.
What happens if in the process of putting the piling, the pilings in the ground, all of a sudden there's a bit of erosion that messes up the railroad track? Who cleans that up?
That would be us.
Or
the contractor that we have out there performing the work.
The pilings would be outside of the blue.
Right, they're on the outside of those.
Okay, any other comments? Reggie, go ahead.
If the public is finished, It's easy to say we take care of these road closings and moving all of that. And is that part of this emergency funding? Because you can drop a couple of hundred grand planting grass and moving driveways and raising them. Is that part of the funding? Or is that going to be city funding? Because once it's said and done, some of these access you won't know until you almost finish that you got to raise an entrance 3 or 4 feet and re-asphalt it or something. Would that be included in these funds?
All our driveway ties, as far as us coming back in, well, inside of the project limits, yes, we will tie every drive back in.
And if
just
the line
like it was a project that we had designed.
Yeah, several of the residents mentioned line of sight, and it's just going to get worse when you raise a bridge. So it's potentially, if the entrances needed to be raised, that would be part of the funding?
Yes, we would build these driveways the same way we would spec them by permit.
Okay.
The same thing we would hold a contractor to, we built to that same standard.
Another thing kind of dear to the city's heart and mine and Mr. Morris is the stormwater control. And it's obviously a major stormwater drain runs down the side of the track.
Yes.
I noticed how you said yes, so what does that mean?
Well, we just have an atypical situation. I mean, it's a lot of water dropping off fast, and so we're already looking at it just like it would be any other project. When we come tomorrow, we're bringing our road design chief, our hydro, and bridge design, all from our staff, and our lead design manager. So we'll have a team of people down here tomorrow to answer those questions, but we already have things that we're writing into the preliminary scope as far as what we need the consultant to review and repair inside the work, a scope
okay.
of this work.
And that would include that, and I forgot what size Mr. Morris told me that line is parallel the railroad track, but it's a pretty healthy size line. And it's been there probably as old as I am, which is pretty old. But that'll be analyzed as far as the whole foundations and everything and for the future of the line also.
Now,
talking about the sewer, the water line that runs parallel the railroad track. Because that could
that's
come in play.
That's speaking of that you found, and we, or the railroad's line.
Mr. Morris needs to address
Morris
it because
can speak to that better, Mr. Ebner.
Because this is, I mean, it's all in the same boat right here.
Right. The line that you're speaking of, Councilman Ebner, is about a 48-inch storm sewer line that does parallel, and it is on the north side of the tracks. Between the end bent of the bridge and then the tracks themselves. I have met with Mr. Randall Mungo, who is the SCDOT hydraulics engineer, He is aware of it, made the surveyors aware of it. They have been picking that up to make sure that that was addressed. Now, at this point in time, I've been trying to stay close with them, and Kevin's been working with me real well on that to involve me with meetings. I cannot tell you what the plan would be for that. And again, with a design build, this could be a traditional bridge, as we see with piling under it. It could be a three-sided culvert where the DOT would build two walls, if you will, one on the north side, one on the south side, and then cover over that with the actual bridge structure itself. And until the design build team is actually analyzes what they have and see what they can do, we won't know what that is. But certainly as that information comes available, I'll furnish that to Mr. Pierce.
Push that information out to council and to the public.
Yeah,
as well.
I think it'd be wise to do that because that's a major stormwater line. Then the other thing, I don't know if they're going to use drill piles or driven piles, but if you start doing driven piles there, the vibration can cause some long-term issues with that line that's probably halfway rusted out anyway.
Certainly the contractor will be made aware of that, and we do have in this area right here where the end vent is on the north side right there. That is where we discovered a live 8-inch sanitary sewer line immediately adjacent to the end vent of the bridge. That is going to be our responsibility to move. Okay. Anytime we have a utility that is in the right-of-way and it has to be moved, it is our responsibility. We will do that with city crews.
And that is set forth under the Municipal State Highway Project Agreement that we put in the materials we shared with you.
Now, just keep an eye on it because it's a major drain for all along the Park Avenue. Thank you.
Okay. Judy?
Judy, please come back up so not everybody can hear you, I don't think. Thank you.
While you're altering the grade, right now we can go in and out of Lawrence and just come down to South Boundary. But when you're raising that grade, we won't be able to go out there, right? So where do we just park down on South Boundary?
If you could let Mr. Gant to the microphone.
Kevin,
Ms. Cunningham, can you let Mr. Gant come up to the microphone so we catch his voice too, please?
And I can answer that pretty easily. Now, what we'll probably do here is similar to what's there now. We'll set up a staging area so that they can do the construction for the bridge.
Right.
And then once we come back in here and we start tying in with asphalt, this will be done in lifts, and we'll have traffic control there so that we can never take away your access.
Oh, even while you're changing that grade?
So we put these lifts in here, and you now might be a flagman out there with a vest and keeping you from getting home as quickly as you would like, but they'll put that in lifts and still have to provide you access to get back in.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It'll be flagged. It might be come down to just one-way traffic, but we cannot restrict your access. You're going to be able to go home. Right. I hope that's helpful.
Okay. Now, anyone else? Council? Okay. We've got a motion and a second to approve this resolution. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Thank everyone for being
Mr.
here.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much.
You
yes.
need our signatures personally.
Right. Yes, we do. We need signatures here. Thank everyone for being here. Obviously, we recognize this is not going to be the simplest thing, or might put out a few people a little bit. But certainly we'll follow this as close as we can, and then there'll be a recap once the plan is in a form where people can see it, can look at it. We'll make sure that we have that at meeting. Thank you. Thank you. We depend